This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
A partial ceasefire with Russia? Wait a second. Is little Zelensky begging for a second chance? Huh? Does he want a second chance? Does he know his gravy train's going to run out? Yeah, you know what I think did it? I think it was Trump last night saying we're cutting off funding for Ukraine. And then suddenly it was, well, now. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Yeah, that's what I think happened. I think Zelensky turned around and went, well, I mean, Mr. President. You know, that whole thing in the Oval Office where I was telling you, you know, I didn't really want peace. Well, that's because I thought you were just going to do with the Democrats soon, just keep giving me money. Forever and ever and ever. And that, yeah. So clearly, that's on me. My bad. Oops. So, yeah, how about some peace? That's the Washington Post headline. Zelensky offers partial ceasefire with Russia to restart peace talks. Amazing what happens when you have a president threatening to cut off aid of a little man like Volodymyr Zelensky, huh? Oh, tonight's the big address. We're a couple hours away from it. I'm not going to be live tweeting. You know, I'm going to watch the friggin' thing. But what is it going to be like? Well, why don't we ask our buddy Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, what it's going to be like and how the corporate legacy media will react to it. Caroline? I mean, she told this to Fox News, but still will act like she's telling it to us. Hey, buddy, what can we expect tonight?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. We'll have to see how it goes. But I think the legacy media will refuse to cover the first part of President Trump's speech, which will be highlighting the accomplishments of his first term, the historic decrease in illegal border crossings, our economy, and the foreign investments that have been brought back to America, and the peace that he has already made around this world. Hostages have returned home. They never want to report the good news. I think you won't see that. It's going to be must-see TV.
I like it. I like must-see TV. Very nice. Very nice. I also heard this bizarre exchange. I mean, this was crazy today. This exchange that happened between Chuck Todd and that moron Steve Schmidt, who honestly is one of the biggest dopes out there. He really is. Chuck Todd and Steve Schmidt. Now, why am I going to play this for you? I'm going to play this for you because this is everything that I've been telling you about Joe Biden for years. Joe Biden's not a good guy. Joe Biden's not a family man. He's a corrupt SOB. He is a consummate politician in the worst kind of way, meaning he'll put politics and his own success ahead of everything. We saw this with Justice Clarence Thomas when he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And yet in 2020, he was a kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID. Then they all covered and you know, F you if you don't think this is the best version of Joe Biden. And okay, Laura Trump, you're not a medical doctor, okay, Laura Trump, you're not a medical doctor. Then they all decided at the same time that, yeah, you know what? Oh, it turns out it's not a deep fake. Joe Biden really does have dementia. And now they're all saying what I've been saying for years, which is Joe Biden is a self-absorbed SOB, corrupt. Well, they're kind of hiding the corruption thing, but they know it too. But listen to these two. Listen to Steve Schmidt and Chuck Todd who now is Chuck Todcast list, because I don't even think he has the Chuck Todcast anymore. I don't think he even has that anymore. I'm not going to torture you with this whole thing, but just listen to this.
It is time for them to move on from Schumer, but this is why I go back and say, the Democratic Party's, you know, Joe Biden never should have been there in the first place, right? Number one, he shouldn't have run for president. I completely got so angry at Joe Biden, the man, when I read the transcript of the Hunter Biden trial. And when I realized that not one, not two, but three Biden children, and I count Beau's widow, were all dealing with drug problems in 2018, and Joe Biden said, now's a perfect time to run for president because who cares about our family? I have to tell you something about Joe Biden. There's this mythology about Joe Biden.
First of all, who created it? Who created the mythology? You created the mythology. I didn't create the mythology. Did you create the mythology? Did you? Who told you to put the bomb on? I told you to put the bomb on? Who created this mythology about Joe Biden? Guys like you, Chuck Todd. Guys like you at Meet the Press. Guys like the Never Trumpers, like Steve Schmidt and the others. So yeah, tell us about the mythology that you, as the former host of Meet the Press, and then Meet the Press Daily, and then Meet the Press every 5 minutes, and then the Chuck Todcast, the Chuck Cast, the Todcast, whatever it's called. Tell us about the mythology
that the man cared so much. It's all this man supposedly cared so much about his family that he commuted every day. Guess what? This man cared so much about his political career that he commuted every day, right? Like I could take the same fact, and it created a myth, and he did it for 40 years, God bless him, that he was this incredible family man. And instead, what he really was a craven political animal that was desperate. The man considered or ran for president every 4 years he was eligible. You know why he didn't run in 76? He wasn't 35 yet. That's the only reason.
I literally made a room gay.
Okay, so the mythology of Joe Biden. And what have we said on the show for years? That Dr. Joe Biden, you always have to say that by law, Dr. Joe Biden, wanted the glory, wanted the dresses, the gowns, the first lady. And by the end, she was chairing the cabinet meetings in a total Edith Wilson move. And what else do we say about Joe Biden and his family? He didn't care about his family. I mean, his crackhead son helped him get rich. He used his idiot crackhead son to become an incredibly wealthy man. He's been in politics since he was in his 20s, making like, what, $1.50 a year max till he raised it to like $1.75. Look, I'm not saying that that's not good money. And for a lot of Americans, they can only dream to make that kind of money. But you're not becoming a multimillionaire on that kind of money. I don't care how well you save. I don't care what kind of you get rich off of that because of corruption. Just be honest. Call what it is. You get rich on that from insider stock tips and then the corruption of your idiot crackhead son. That's the truth. And, you know, a family man who just lost his son and then couldn't run again. One thing I will say, that stupid show on Netflix, Zero Day with Robert De Niro, which don't waste your time watching it because it's such a letdown. It starts off with such promise and then it just gets so ridiculous. And again, I'm putting my personal feelings for Robert De Niro aside. I always do that. You know that. I love movies. Movies are my joy. I'm not going to let an actor's politics take away from my joy. So I'll watch Taxi Driver and Godfather 2 for the rest of my life. I could care less what the man's politics are. But you know what? If you don't believe me, then you can just look at the lefty publications that slam that show, like Slate and The Guardian and others that slam that show as being ridiculous. Look at the Rotten Tomatoes score. But anyway, the plot is that he's a one-term president because he loses his son and can't handle the emotional trauma of it and doesn't want to run for a second term. That's how normal people react to things. That's how normal people deal with the most unthinkable tragedy in life is losing a child. Okay, it is the most unthinkable tragedy in life. Joe Biden loses Beau. Does that stop him? Of course not. His son almost dies of drugs. Of course not. He uses his son to run for office. Why am I saying all this? Because we have been saying all this for years. And the fact that just like how Jake Tapper writes that book, and in that book he goes on about how Jake, you know, there's this big cover up of Joe Biden's cognitive decline. We were telling you that for years. I'm just really sick of these people who lied to us for years, created the very mythology and the mystique of Joe Biden, and then when they lose, they turn around and they throw him under the bus. Which, hey, listen, throw him under the bus, fine with me. But you people, you aided and abetted this to the utmost degree. You aided and abetted this. You covered up for him. You allowed everybody to believe that the dossier was Russia collusion, or not the dossier, the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian misinformation. You peddled that. You censored your fellow people in the media about all this stuff. So then don't turn around because you lost and you were covering up for his cognitive decline and then act like you've just discovered the discovery of the century. Like, oh, look what we found over here. Kryptonite. In Addis Ababa, you didn't discover anything. We have been saying this, and we were called conspiracy theorists for it. We, on our side of the political aisle, were called conspiracy theorists for saying all these very things for years and years and years. I told you in 2020 Joe Biden was corrupt. I said it back then. I said, don't buy this act, and don't buy this act that he's some moderate, because he's not going to be a moderate. He's surrounding himself with lunatics, and sure enough, that man ran like a moderate Democrat and then governed like an extreme lefty liberal, because that's their party now. And day one, he gets in there and it's just pure destruction, pure destruction. Let's hear a little bit more of these two geniuses, shall we? Go ahead.
Full of people. And I prefaced what I said that made them gasp with this. And I said, literally, I take a backseat to nobody in a country of 340 million people of my criticism of Donald Trump. Nobody. Right. And I don't think it's polemic criticism. I think I have been correct. And I think I ran not what became the grift, but a political organization that was incredibly effective, right, in beating Donald Trump in 2020. Right. The, you know, the Lincoln Project, before it became, unfortunately, something that pockets 90 cents of every dollar. You know, there's an old saying, right, that every cause becomes a business, right? Becomes.
Oh, and he's bitter at the Lincoln Project because they threw him out because he's a loser, too. You guys were all that was all grift, too. You know, a lot of those guys like Steve Schmidt wanted a job in the Trump campaign. A lot of those guys did. If you look at the roots of the Never Trump movement, It was two things. It was the pro-war Republicans who could not stand the idea of a guy who was openly saying that going into Iraq was a mistake. Remember, in 2015, when Donald Trump was saying those things, it was not very fashionable within the Republican Party to acknowledge that going into Iraq was a mistake. People hemmed and hawed over it. They were like, well, after time and weapons of mass destruction and blah, blah, blah. President Trump was never shy about saying that. So they wanted to stop him because he also said, we got to stop these endless wars. We got to knock it off here with this endless war on terror. So that's the second were losers who couldn't get a job in his campaign. And this comes from, I'm telling you this because I was offered a job on his campaign in 2016. I turned it down because of this radio show. But obviously, you know, we maintained a friendship, and now I have more friends than I did the first time around, which is nice. But I mean, I could have gone on the campaign, but I know who couldn't. Guys like Steve Schmidt, guys like that other bald freak who runs around, Rick Wilson. They couldn't. Nobody wanted to hire them. And Nicole Wallace comes from the John McCain, and so does this guy, the John McCain pro warmonger side of the Republican Party. Which, by the way, for the record, a lot of current Republicans, if it became fashionable again, would be all over that train. Would be all over that train. But it's not fashionable because it's not what we the people want. That's why we elected Donald Trump. But the Lincoln Project, these other Never Trump groups, they became a way to just make money. And so tonight at President Trump's speech, you're going to hear him talk about peace. Zelensky is now coming begging. Oh, Mr. President, this JD, have you seen map? This whole thing dinks now. What's now? This JD. Now it's, Mr. President, I'm so sorry. Sign mineral deal. I'll sign mineral deal right now. What is this survey on cheating? I was just watching this earlier. What is this now? I'm just curious about this now. New survey asks, what is considered cheating? 60% say talking with an ex counts as cheating. Well, I guess it depends on what you're talking about. I think that's probably number one, right? If you're talking with an ex because you're dealing with like kids because you're co-parenting, and if you're just reminding your ex what a horrible person they are, I don't know if that counts. I don't know. Let's see what else they have here. This 60% say talking with an ex. 51% say flirting with others is cheating. Flirting with others. Well, I guess do you have to define flirting? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I think. Here's what I think probably the answer is. Common sense answer is if you don't feel comfortable telling your spouse or your partner, your girlfriend, your boyfriend with your behavior, with what you're doing, chances are it meets the criteria. I'm just saying. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that flirting with others is cheating. I think it just depends on what's flirting. Like I tell Jimmy Fallon, he's hot all the time. I don't know if that's flirting or not. 23% say watching adult videos is cheating. What if you watch the OnlyFans video about my foot? You know what I mean? Because that is hot stuff right there. I used to charge people big money for this, but I gave you a sneak peek earlier in the YouTube chat on my foot, with the cast on today. But if I charge you $9.90 a month to look at this, $9.99 a month, and you didn't tell your spouse, would that be considered cheating? It's very, very possible. I don't know. Then, of course, there is also the old cheating being the old, between the sheets kind of a thing, which I think everybody understands that is cheating. But we could go back to the Bill Clinton standard of it depends on what is. Depends on what is. But the big problem is social media. This is why I stay off Facebook. Honestly, I only have a professional presence on social media sites. So I have my Instagram page, Zioli Show, shameless plug. Twitter, at Rich Zioli. And Facebook is always the only show. And I got to do a better job of responding to all the nice comments I get. But from what I've heard from people, it's not uncommon to have somebody reach out to them after like 20, 30 years. Be like, hey, look at you. That's why I just keep the professional. But then you got to worry about people sliding into your DMs, as it's called. Did you know about this? Yeah, so I have a friend who is she's young. She's a family member of very good friends of ours who said that somebody slid into her DMs. It's like, what does that mean? I guess it's when somebody sends you a message, and not just like a hey, great show message, but like a message. But I don't know. I get also too, if you're talking to an ex and that counts as cheating, I guess the question is, why are you talking to an ex? Are you having regrets? Because this brings me to the most disturbing story of the day today. That apparently Baffleck is back. No, what do you call it? It's when Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, who were together. Think of how crazy these two were. They were together, and then they broke up. Then they got like remarried. Then they broke up again. Then I think they got remarried again. Now they're talking again. Balo? I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter what it is. All I know is that Ben Affleck is the worst person besides Woodrow Wilson. I'm just saying. The worst person besides Woodrow Wilson. And that's my own personal opinion. I mean, the guy ruins everything. Am I right? Everything. Everything the guy touches, he ruins. I even watched, there's this movie called Hollywoodland. You ever see this movie? It's about what happened to George Reeves, who played Superman on the TV show. A great premise, because his mystery, did he in fact kill himself, or was he killed by, speaking of, a jilted lover, or not? And was it an accident? But anyway, they made this movie about this, and it was a great premise, ruined by the fact that Ben Affleck plays George Reeves. So he essentially has ruined Superman as well. And really, that's why they had to reboot the entire franchise. That's why they're rebooting Superman, which makes me happy to report to you that according to a story I saw, the new Superman movie, no woke. There's not going to be any woke. Isn't that great? Oh, this makes me really, really happy that Superman is not going to be woke. See, as a father of a 10-year-old son, we bond over superhero movies. And I'm sure maybe you did the same. I have great memories of watching Superman and Superman 2 with my dad when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I remember my dad taking us to see, I think, The Empire Strikes Back when I was a kid. I remember we went to drive-in movies back then, There's still the Delsey drive-in still around, right? I think that's still around. But there's not many drive-in movies left, but the Delsey drive-in down in South Jersey is, yeah, still going strong. Look at that. Good. Excellent. I'm glad. It makes me happy to see that. That's a fun place. But anyway, my point is, so with, like, my son, Patrick, we hang out, you know, and we wind up watching these movies together, and I don't want them to stink. I also don't want them to be woke. And the story from Chronicles Magazine, the new Superman, soaring clear of wokeness. Let me just, I'm going to share a little bit of this with you because I found this to be fascinating. All right. As we're getting ready for President Trump's big speech tonight, which, well, let me do this. Let's take a quick break. I'll come back. I'll share this with you because I think there's a change happening in America. I think there's a change happening in America. And this is the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. There's a change happening in that Trump's election was the death of woke, something I've said many times. And it's starting to be reflected in our culture, which is good. That's why I played that skit from Saturday Night Live the other night when Shane Gillis was hosting, because I want to get back to a place where we can enjoy movies, TV shows, comedy. And I think that the change that's occurring is it's directly correspondent with Trump and his election. We'll talk about that. But Dr. Mike Vanaria, two locations to serve you, Cinnamon and Woodbury. Make your appointment today for your perfect smile. Coming back, what is President Trump going to say? Where does peace stand with Ukraine? Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Some Democrats are going to watch tonight. Who cares, by the way? A bunch of losers. Mark Fogel's going to be there. Pennsylvania's own Mark Fogel, invited by the First Lady. He'll be in the stands tonight. That's excellent. That's great. We're really, really happy for his family. And, of course, family members of Corey Compitore. Corey was killed, of course, in Butler, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here tonight. And we're getting ready for the president's big speech tonight. He'll speak on the renewal of the American dream as Governor Trudeau of Cuba. It's nice when Matt DeSantis is not here to correct me, is very upset about the tariffs. So we might hear about that as well tonight. But I wanted to mention something. I'm going to get into this whole thing about American culture in just a second. But speaking of Russia, do you know the Democrats are still peddling this out there? But you know what's remarkable is that you hear this, but what you don't hear is Democrats coming out and saying, or like you don't hear Jake Tapper or Anderson Cooper or anybody coming out going, stop it, that's been disproven. All right, stop with your Russia collusion nonsense, it's been disproven. They let them spout this stuff. So this is very educational for you to hear. Here's Congressman Dan Goldman, along with Anderson Cooper, who lets him spew lies.
No indication, I mean, in all the reporting that I saw, that Russia has stopped cyber operations against the United States. Have you seen anything to indicate that they have?
No, and in fact, there was reporting that as recently as a few weeks ago, I assume during the Trump administration, there were reports of Russian cyber warfare operations. And this has been going on for a long time. We, of course, know about Russia's interference in the 2016 election through cyber warfare. That helped Donald Trump. This time around, though, Russia is very aggressively using cyber warfare, and the notion that we would stop offensive cyber warfare against Russia is a complete acknowledgement and concession to Russia that we are not going to put pressure on them. I don't know
what. How did they do anything in the 2016 election? What did they do in the? Did Russia's cyber attacks keep Hillary Clinton from campaigning in the Rust Belt? Did Russian cyber attacks keep her little man-child campaign manager from keeping the campaign message focused on Trump's a meanie pants with mean tweets who's going to start World War III? Did Russia do any of those things? No. That was the Clinton campaign that did those things. They chose to make the election about Trump going to make us go boom, with nuclear bomb go boom, and Trump mean tweets. He says mean things, a big meanie pants. Well, that's what they said. But Anderson Cooper just lets him spout off all that nonsense. That's why I played that clip, because it's infuriating to me that happens. Zelensky said the following. Our meeting in Washington at the White House on Friday did not go the way it was supposed to be. It is regrettable that it happened this way. It is time to make things right. We would like future cooperation and communication to be constructive. Translation, boy, I really messed up here, didn't I? I mean, I really messed up. I just really messed up. And can I get a do-over? Now, I can't take credit for this, but you probably have seen this on social media. A great Seinfeld clip when George Costanza quits his job. Remember, he goes in there and he quits his job, and then he goes back to Jerry, and he can't figure out what he's going to do with his life. He's like, I could be a sports announcer, you know? And so Jerry comes up with this idea for him to deal with the situation of what he's done.
You can just go back.
Go back?
Yeah. Pretend like it never happened.
You mean just walk into the staff meeting on Monday morning like it never happened?
Sure. You're an emotional person. People don't take you seriously.
Just go back. Pretend the whole thing never happened.
Never happened?
I was blowing off a little steam. So what?
So what? You're entitled.
I'm emotional.
That's right. You're emotional.
Never happened.
Never happened.
So is that Zelensky? Is he pulling a Costanza? Never happened. It never happened. He's just going to walk back into the Oval Office and then just be...
How you doing?
What are you doing here?
What? I work here.
I thought you quit.
What? Quit? Who quit?
Bill. I thought you rejected the mineral rights deal. Who rejected the mineral rights deal? Who did that? That's, stop it. That's silly now. That's just to say, you stop it, you silly, silly you. Silly, stop. You know, I think, in my opinion, a big part of the situation right now with Ukraine is that we're going to have a possible peace deal on the table because Trump turned around last night and said, well, then we're cutting off aid. He actually cut off aid. He said he's going to cut off aid to Ukraine. Isn't that something? And then the Associated Press had two Ukrainians to prove their support for Zelensky over Trump. They found two of them, both of them. They found all two to say that they stand with Zelensky. Two.
Поддержки Європи і Штатів Україна не зможе витримати. Ми не зможемо. Надо поддержка, щоб була, тому що я думаю, що це не тільки в інтересах України, це в інтересах і Європи.
Basically reading the Ukrainian talking point, saying how, you know, we have to support, we have to, Ukraine, you know, we have to, so anyway, I'm just making that point because we may actually see peace. All right, but tonight is a speech and we shall see. But I wanted to mention this about culture and culture changing in America. And I really do think it's because of Trump's election. I think the culture is changing. Here's what I mean. American culture now, you're allowed to have fun. You're allowed to joke around. You're allowed to have a good time again. It's a great thing. It really is. It's a great thing to see. And I'm happy about this. Like even Shane Gillis the other night on his opening monologue on Saturday Night Live was even able to make jokes about Joe Biden. I love Gillis, man. He's hilarious.
I miss Biden. Biden was fun. Also hilarious. My favorite thing about Biden was anytime he was giving a speech, in between teleprompters, his face would go back to being dead. You remember that? Be like, ah! I'm serious. Look, I get it. You guys are pretty liberal here. I understand being liberal, dude. It feels good. It's powerful. It's too powerful, dude. You can. It's like the Sith. You can, like, lose yourself, dude. Somebody says something you don't like at work, you're like, do it. All right, now I'm going to lose you even more.
Good. So I was mentioning this. So if culture is changing, then why? So the new Superman movie that's coming out, Chronicles, Magazine of American Culture, has this. Change is in the air for America, and not just politically. It also happening across popular culture. An interesting example of this sea change is the new Superman movie scheduled to land in theaters this July. Director James Gunn recently talked to Variety about the movie, and the interview is notable for how quickly Gunn moves away from political correctness, which has become kryptonite since Donald Trump was elected. Here's how the director responded when he was asked by Variety reporter Adam B. Vary whether, quote, his version of Superman is right for the current cultural moment. Translation, how is Clark Kent going to toe the left-wing Hollywood line when he's an all-American hero? Remember, Superman stands for truth, justice, and the American way. He has been the quintessential American superhero since he was first created. And one of the biggest problems that I've ever had, I had with a movie called Superman Returns, which was like 2005, six, like that. Well, it was not a great movie. But number two is that the line goes from, it's the editor of the Daily Planet saying, does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff? They kept out the American way. And a big part of that was Hollywood's greed of wanting to sell the movie on screens in Asia. I get that, but it annoyed me. This Superman is going back to truth, justice, and the American way, which is the way it's supposed to be. He's our superhero. So this is what James Gunn said to answer that question from the lefty Hollywood media. He said, in some ways, I would say it's the right Superman because I don't think he's a part of the cultural moment. He's a character that stands for something that is solid, for basic human morals, basic human integrity, the basic belief in protecting others, the weak, being good to people, and being honest. He stands for what I think of as the rules that don't change. Now, remember, a big problem with the cultural left is that they don't believe in things like morality in the sense of traditional basic morals. They believe these things are very much fluid. You know what I mean? The concept of right and wrong is very fluid. And so when you have a character like Superman who stands for what is right and just and honest and all these other things, that actually is a conservative principle of human morality. And it's not this moral relativism that is so often pushed by the progressive left, moral relativism being that, well, you know, if something is right in the moment, then it can be good. No, it's about having long-term philosophical beliefs that are eternal and timeless. And the director who was asked that question didn't take the bait. He says, I know what you're saying. There's another reporter brought up how skittish studios have become around questions of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the wake of President Trump's relentless campaign to rid not just the federal government, but much of American public life of DEI initiatives specifically, and women and people of color in positions of power generally. That's how the reporter phrased the question. So imagine this now. You're the director of the new Superman movie, and this reporter says to you, how skittish, you know, how are you going to navigate this? Because studios have become so skittish. In the wake of President Trump going after diversity, equity, inclusion, not just in the federal government, but much of the American public life, DEI initiatives specifically, and women and people of color in positions of power generally. Now, translation from that lefty reporter is, Trump is trying to get rid of women and people of color to no longer be in power. Now, that's an absolute lie because, I mean, literally, half of his cabinet's women. And he surrounds himself with people of color all the time. But this is the lie that the left pushes out there because DEI is another scam that's used to perpetuate. I mean, as our buddy Wilfred Riley puts it, you know, racism's racism, right? But they push out this lie about Trump, this DEI lie about Trump, and they push this out there and they go, well, you know, what are you going to do about that, man? He's trying to get rid of women, people of color. So how's Superman going to respond to that since he's a white dude? Let's cut through the BS, right? He's a white guy. The director didn't take the bait. He said, I know what you're saying. I understand your words, but I've been off working on stories for 3 years, and I just try to tell the best stories I possibly can, and that's all I care about. He also added that he doesn't read the news anymore or spend as much time on social media as he used to. So we're just trying to make the best movies we can in the best way we can. No matter who is telling me who I'm supposed to put in my movie for whatever reason, I don't give a blank. I was always about creating the best story possible with the best characters possible. It was that way, you know, 5 years ago, and it's that way today. More direct was legendary director Quentin Tarantino, who blasted the new Hollywood racism in an interview he did with Bill Maher several years ago. It's kind of an older one,
has become a thing that's gone on, it seems like, in this, especially this last year, where what's the word I'm looking at? Ideology is more important than art.
Right.
Way more, certainly to the awards.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's like, you know, ideology right. trumps art. Ideology right. trumps individual terrible. Effort. Ideology trumps good. Ideology trumps yeah. entertaining.
There's two kinds of movies, virtue signalers yeah. uh-huh. and superhero movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you bullish on the future movies? Because
well, look, you have to always look at.
Are we going to get back to that place?
Look, this happens. This comes in waves. This absolutely comes in waves. All right. So it's like, okay, just looking at the 40s. All right, that was during the wartime.
But we don't have to go through the history of this. But I think the fact that he's pointing this out says a lot. Now, this was 3 years ago, and you know, Liker loves Tarantino movies, and I happen to be a big fan. I mean, the guy uses the N-word every other 2 seconds. The point is that if you are constantly trying to put woke, DEI, and all the other nonsense into movies, comedy, whatever else it is, you're going to destroy it. You're going to destroy it. That's the bottom line. All right, President Trump's big speech tonight. What will we hear? What will we see? Oh, and The View admits that the parent company, ABC Disney China, the platform is to promote Democrat talking points. Oh, shocking, right? I'll tell you what Stephen A. Smith said to the cackling hens on The View, but it proves my point that, yes, the legacy corporate media is there to do the bidding of the left. Don't go away. Still got a lot to come.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So capping the big story of the day today, a trade war with Mexico and Canada. And little Fidel is not happy about this. Where all this goes from here, I don't know. But I do know that the president is not going to be intimidated by this. And he already has turned around and said, Governor Trudeau, we're going to have some major problems, you and I. Governor Trudeau, we are going to have a major problem. Putting out on Truth Social, mocking him, saying, if you're going to put tariffs on us, well, then we're going to put more tariffs on you. We're putting tariffs on you. You put more tariffs on us. We're going to put more tariffs on you. OK, that's how this is going to work. Here's Trudeau announcing 25% tariffs on all these American goods.
At the moment, the U.S. tariffs came into effect in the early hours of this morning. And so did the Canadian response. Canada will be implementing 25% tariffs against $155 billion worth of American goods, starting with tariffs on $30 billion worth of goods immediately and tariffs on the remaining $125 billion of American products in 21 days' time. At the moment, the U.S. tariffs came into effect in the early hours of this morning.
Now, a little Fidel, I don't know where all this goes. And, you know, I don't want to see a trade war. I don't think any of us want to see a trade war. I'm hopeful and optimistic that this is going to be a temporary thing and that any tariffs on American goods that Canada is currently placing on us right now will go away as a response to this. Okay, that's what I'm hoping. That's my hope. That's my hope for this. And I'm going to be optimistic about that. And that's what I'm going to say. And, you know, I've talked a lot about it during the show today, and obviously, but I want to, before we turn it over to, well, we're going to, you know, obviously Fela's going to come on and then the president's speech tonight. But I wanted to just point out something to you. And it's this. We've often said the corporate media in this country exists to do the bidding of the left. But how do we prove such a thing? How do we prove such a comment? How do you prove something like that? Well, here's The View, Stephen A. Smith. And Whoopi Goldberg essentially acknowledging that ABC News, the parent company, of course, of ABC is Disney China. So it's ABC Disney China as the official parent company. Yeah, they're there to do the bidding of the left.
It's not about him winning. It was an indictment against the Democratic Party and what the Democratic Party was offering to American citizens. We might sit up there and talk about, hey, you should be a party for the working class, which the Democratic Party was once known for. They're not known for that right now. Why? Because their message was catering towards others and towards other issues. And they forgot about the people that brought them there, that elevated the Democratic Party to what it was over these last few decades. That's why they lost. He didn't win.
Well,
the
Democrats lost. Remind people what those issues were.
Sure.
First of all, he did win. He won in a big way. He won in a big way because he was right on message. He talked about the economy. He talked about the border. He talked about crime. He talked about all the things that matter. That's the reality. Oops, sorry, my TV just went off on there as I'm adjusting to my home studio. I'm also hearing like a buzzing sound. It's driving me crazy. Is that buzzing coming from? I don't know. Oh, I know. My stupid ankle bracelet. I might have my ankle monitor on. Well, it's a bone stimulator to help my bone growth, but I think it's causing some sort of like an audio feedback loop. I'm going to have to check with engineering on this or just not wear it during the show. Maybe you can't hear that. Maybe it's just in my head. Or maybe it's the voices in my head. I don't know. Anyway, let's continue with this.
Rewind people what those issues
were. You can do that.
Making sure that families had what they need. Mm-hmm. SNAP, making sure stuff is there. Mm-hmm. Making sure that the America that we all grew up in, where you could come and be whoever you were supposed mm-hmm. to be or want to be, mm-hmm. you still have that right. All these things are the things that the Democrats have always said. But okay. now we have a guy mm-hmm. who's in who says, yeah, you know, I'm going to bring down the price of eggs. But first, I'm going to cut all these jobs. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to see why they need to be cut. I'm just going to cut them. Because mm-hmm. I'm going to put people in. Well, that's what he's doing. He's alienating all our friends around the world.
About what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But before you brought that up, you brought up the message that the Democratic Party was disseminating. I'm challenging you on that. That is not what they were doing. I was here too. I was alive and breathing right here on the air talking to everybody else.
That was from our friends at Newsbusters. Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is that Trump ran on a platform of getting everybody to have a better economy and, yeah, lower the price of eggs, which there's a great piece over at Reason.com where they talk about our cage-free laws, part of the reason for the high price of eggs. It's a big part of it, no doubt about that. But here's 22 Democrat senators caught using the same script and clips word for word. Listen to this.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
So I know this is kind of painful to listen to, and it's better on video, but it's 22 U.S. senators literally saying the same thing at the same time, same script. And what we're doing here is we're just playing it all at the exact same time. Inside Wire put this together. Insider Wire. 22 Democrat senators caught using the same script and clips word for word, okay? I point this out to you all the time. They do this stuff. The giant propaganda machine is what it is. Have a great rest of your night. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. I'll see you tomorrow for my analysis of the president's speech tonight. And have a great rest of your night. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.